Amen. Praise the Lord for the opportunity to be in church tonight. I have my Bible notes, so we're good. Acts chapter number 18. For those that weren't here Sunday night, I temporarily misplaced mine and found the backup set before it was too late. So I didn't let it out of my eyesight today, and we're all good this time. Acts chapter number 18. Acts chapter number 18. We're going to read the first 11 verses of Acts chapter number 18. This is the message I know God has for us tonight. It's a passage that the Lord firmly placed upon my heart last week in studying and preparing. And I know this is the message he has. Part of me wanted to jump the gun and do it on Sunday night, but I didn't want to switch messages, and I knew that's not what the Lord wanted. But I know that this is the message God has for us tonight. In Acts chapter number 18, verse number 1, it says, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." Father, we thank you so much for this night that you've given to us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for another opportunity to gather in your house, Lord, to open your word with God's people, to have you speak to our hearts. And Lord, we don't take that opportunity for granted. We don't take it lightly. And Lord, I pray that even tonight we'd open our hearts to what you have for us tonight. I pray that, Father, your Holy Spirit would work in our midst tonight, that your Holy Spirit would bind the devil from distracting hearts and minds, and that all of us could focus on your word and your message for us tonight from your word. And God, I pray that you would use your Holy Spirit to prepare hearts to receive that word tonight. And then, Father, I pray that you would use me as an instrument in your hand, where I've got nothing of myself to say or to offer. But Lord, I just surrender myself completely to you. And Lord, I ask that you would bless tonight as we look into your word. For we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin the reading here in Acts chapter number 18. We pick up Paul on his second missionary journey as he's traveling along and going from city to city and preaching the gospel, establishing churches. And we come to the point where he makes his way to Corinth and begins there to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he's there at Corinth, as part of being there, he meets Aquila and Priscilla. The reason they kind of struck it off pretty easily is because they had the same occupation, and Paul dwells with them and begins to work with them as he's there in Corinth and is establishing himself and trying to earn some money by being that tent maker and providing that for those that would have need of that. And he's working hard and diligently doing that. And as he's here in Corinth, we see that Paul, as was his habit, would go to the synagogue and try to preach and teach God's word to the Jews and to share it with them. And as was the case in many instances before, that message wasn't well received. And the Jews there, they begin to blaspheme and are upset with Paul. And Paul says, that's fine, I'll shake off the dust. I'll move on to the Gentiles. It's no big deal. That blood is on you. And referring back to Ezekiel in that passage of the watchmen, and understanding that Paul knew he had done his part. He had given them God's word. They chose. They weren't going to accept it. And Paul says, I'm fine with that. I'm going to shake it off. It's no big deal. I'm going to move on to the Gentiles. We see then what happens next is he meets a man named Justus, who allows him to then begin preaching in his house. and uses that as now his home base to preach God's word. And ultimately, he reaches Crispus, the leader of the synagogue there, which would be a tremendous tremendous thing to see happen, something take place, where a leader of a synagogue is one that gets saved. That's a good place to start when you're trying to lead Jews to the Lord, and that's certainly something fruitful there. And Paul also sees other people saved and baptized in Corinth. And I'm reading all this, and this is something that I think that is an exciting thing, and it's a great thing that we see here. But as I continue to read this, I see something that kind of strikes a chord with me, that kind of sticks out, is what the Lord reveals to Paul in a vision at night. And obviously, it wouldn't be something that we'd experience today, but the Lord spoke to his heart in one way or the other. As Paul was there one evening, and he delivers these words to him, and to me, they're words of encouragement. They're words that are given to give Paul a shot in the arm, to give Paul a little more direction, give Paul a little more excitement in what he's going towards and what he's doing. And as I begin to study and look at this, and even reading in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and I think that as we read this tonight and we look at especially what's mentioned there in verse number 9 and 10 and what happens and what takes place, and then we'll look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in just a second, I believe that even though in the midst of this fruitful time and what's going on and what's taking place, that Paul experiences some discouragement. That Paul kind of is in a spot where he's having his musings at night. He's thinking about what's happened and what's taking place, as often we may do as we pillow our head at night. We think about the things that have taken place during the day, or we think about the things going on in our life. The night questions, they call it, where you kind of begin to think about life as you're laying there in the evening. And that's, I believe, where Paul is at right here. Paul's doing that, and Paul's stopping and thinking about these things. But as I study this and I read this and I look at this and doing research on this, I truly believe that Paul, even though his words are never recorded as what he would have said or exactly his mindset of what he was thinking, based on what's in these verses and what we see in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, I believe Paul was kind of at a crossroads in his own heart and mind. That Paul was kind of in a spot of discouragement, although not verbal and certainly nothing that Luke recorded for us within Scripture, maybe something that Paul never mentioned to anyone else, but the Lord knew. And I think if we're honest tonight, we've been there ourselves as well. We're sitting at night and we begin to let our minds think and maybe wander a little bit, and we contemplate the things that are taking place and the circumstances of our life and what's going on around us, and we look at what's taking place, and whether we would admit it or not out loud, I believe we all experience discouragement from time to time. We sit there and we think, well, this isn't exactly what I thought was going to happen. This isn't exactly how I had it laid out, or this isn't going the way I think it would go. And I think that we can learn some things tonight about dealing with this discouragement from the Apostle Paul. And I want to look at a couple of things tonight as we look at this. And first of all is the truth, I believe, that Paul faced discouragement. And as I said, whatever Paul was thinking or feeling, it isn't completely revealed in this passage, but we do know from his first letter to the church at Corinth that Paul was at a weak and trying moment in his life. I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. This would be Paul's first letter back to this church at Corinth. First Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. Paul says this, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Now, after understanding this and reading through this, you know, I know that Paul, this is his mindset to give God credit, but I think now he's experienced, there's no way I could have done what I did in Corinth without God. Because as you continue to read this here, he says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Now, sometimes you could read that, and I certainly would have before looking at Acts chapter 18 and studying this, and thought that was his understanding. He was weak before God. He was trembling and fearing because of what God was doing. But I believe it was an honest assessment of how he felt when he was in Corinth. That I was there, and I was at a weak spot. I was experiencing some fear. I was trembling a little bit about what was going on and what was taking place, and I'll help you understand more of that in just a second. We also know by this recorded response that the Lord gave to him as we see, as he's thinking about this, it says there, "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid." We understand something's going on in Paul's heart and in Paul's mind. It was there, I believe it's clear, that Paul was thinking at least of moving on from Corinth, if not quitting altogether. The great apostle Paul, sitting in his musings in Corinth, is thinking about moving on from this city or maybe stopping altogether. We don't know. But I believe this, we find him discouraged. Now, when we think about discouragement tonight, can I tell you, first of all, the discouragement can come to anyone. It can come to anyone. I believe sometimes we think because we're Christians or because we're trying to do what's right or we're following the Lord that we're somehow immune to discouragement. And if we experience discouragement on any level, then there's something wrong with us. I think that's sometimes our mindset. We think that I shouldn't be, I'm a Christian, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. I've got the joy of Jesus in my heart. I shouldn't be experiencing this. But here's Paul, probably the most well-known Christian in history, a hero of the faith, and he's experiencing discouragement. This is the same Paul that encouraged many churches and Christians, the same Paul that mentored young preachers such as Titus and Timothy, the same Paul that faced persecutions, beatings, stonings, imprisonment, shipwreck, and more, the same Paul that penned more than half of the New Testament, that very same Paul. And here he is, we find him discouraged. You know, the truth is that we have an Old Testament example as well of someone that was discouraged. If you would think of probably the greatest example in the Old Testament, or at least the most well-known character of the Old Testament, you would think of King David himself. But if you would read in the account of King David after what took place in Ziklag, when they came in and they took away the women and children and they burned the city down to the ground, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, the Bible says this, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters." Even David, the great Old Testament King David, was distressed or discouraged. David certainly saw and experienced highs and lows. And as I think about that tonight, if Paul and even David experienced discouragement, should it come as a surprise when it happens to us? I want you to understand something tonight, that discouragement can happen to anyone. And it's not necessarily because you've completely lost all faith or hope in God. It's not necessarily because there's something wrong with you spiritually in your life. It's not necessarily because you're a weak-minded individual or there's a chemical imbalance, although that can certainly play a part. Discouragement can come to anyone. No one is immune to discouragement. So if you're sitting here tonight, can I tell you this? You're not alone. Here we have a New Testament example in the person of Paul that experienced it as well. Not only can discouragement come to anyone, it can come at any time. This came here as Paul was serving the Lord and telling others about him. We read this in verse number 2 and 3. He had recently met Aquila and Priscilla. These would become lifelong friends in the ministry. Aquila and Priscilla, as the Bible says, had come from Italy. They had run from Rome because of the Claudius Caesar ban on Jews. And so here they made their home in Corinth. They had the same occupation. They get to know each other. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 16, verse 3, Paul says this, "Greet Aquila and Priscilla, my helpers in Christ Jesus." They were a great help to Paul in the ministry. He's made these great friends that were going to be lifelong help in the ministry and in the church at Corinth. In fact, they would start a church in their house. In 1 Corinthians 16, 19, "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house." I mean, this is a great thing that's happening. This has got to be a spiritual high that he's met these Christians that have fled persecution in Rome, and they share the same occupation, and they're going to work together to start and to establish a church in Corinth. Not only that, we find in verse number 4, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Here he is, he's spending every Sabbath going to the synagogue. He's reasoning with them. He's preaching the gospel to them. He's telling about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's trying to help them to see the fallacy of their way and understand that they needed the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive them of their sins and to keep them from spending eternity in hell. This is something that Paul was doing on a regular basis, on a weekly basis. And yet, we read about that. He's preaching. He's discussing that with them. Even Timothy and Silas in verse number 5 show up to help with the work that's going on in Corinth. I mean, by all accounts, we look at this and see he's being blessed by the Lord. He's right in the thick of serving the Lord and doing what's right. This is great. And this came while Paul was seeing fruit in his ministry. The Jews rejected him, but he took the message to the Gentiles. We read about that in verse number 6. He found another place to preach the gospel at Justice's house in verse number 7. You read in verse number 8 that it was there he saw the first recorded fruit in Corinth and seeing Crispus saved there and his family and then many other Corinthians believed and being baptized. It can come at any time. Any of us tonight are capable of being discouraged at any moment. It can happen as we're being obedient to God's will for our life. It can happen as we're faithfully serving Him. It can happen as we're seeing fruit in our lives. And that's what's happening right here. Paul, by all accounts, is doing nothing wrong. There's no sin, nothing like that. And yet we see he's experiencing some discouragement. And I'm here to tell you tonight that there are going to be times in our lives when it seems like we're doing everything that God wants us to do. We're following His will. We're plugging right along as He's called us to, and yet we're experiencing some discouragement. I've been there before. I think about 2003, so 15 years, or 2004, 14 years ago. I've talked about this before and having brain surgery, and one of the things I had to do was miss a semester of school because of brain surgery. And thinking about all that, God, I'm following you. I know you want me in Bible college. I know I'm doing what you've asked me to do. And here this health problem comes up and it works out to where I've got to miss a semester of school and now I've got to make this up or delay graduation. I got to school about a month or 3 weeks after it started. It was too late to get back in and that's happening and that's taking place and thinking, how could this happen? But the truth is, we could be right in the middle of doing what God wants us to do and trying to do what's right. And just like Paul, even seeing fruit in our labors, and we can experience discouragement. Because the truth is, discouragement can happen to anyone at any time, and it can come from anywhere. Now, this was what's going on in Paul's life. He was on a run of unfortunate events beginning in Acts chapter number 16. We won't take time and go back and read all these things, but in Acts chapter number 16 and 17, first of all, we see in chapter 16, if you would read about that, is the account of him showing up at Philippi. I mentioned this as part of my sermon on Sunday night, but he shows up there, and then he's beaten and imprisoned there. And then from Philippi, he travels to Thessalonica, and as he's there in Thessalonica in chapter number 17, as you read about that, the whole city gets in an uproar because of the Jews. They hire the certain lewd fellows. I love that part of scripture. I don't know. I just think that's great that the Jews hire the false accusers to say things against Paul, and it sets the whole city in an uproar. And so Paul has to move on from Thessalonica. From there, he goes to Berea, where he experiences a better reception. But there's a problem. The Jews from Thessalonica find out he's in Berea. They leave and they go over to Berea and they cause the same problems they caused in Thessalonica. And because of that, again, the trouble's been stirred up. He's got to leave. And then as you read on in chapter number 17, he shows up at Athens where he preaches a powerful message at Mars Hill only to see no converts. And he leaves Athens without any fruit at all. And now he's showing up here in chapter number 18 in Corinth. And there's something that's taking place in here. One of the things you can't just glaze over is the fact that now Paul is back in Corinth, and for the first time we see it mentioned that Paul's got to work a side job as he's starting a church. Now before, the churches would do things to try to support him and help him. For whatever reason, he's at a point in Corinth where he's got to work and earn money, and he's got to do the tent-making thing, and so he's experiencing some of the pressures of that as well, and this is all going on. It's taking place. All this is happening now as he's in Corinth. The Jews resist him, then they blaspheme, and they rallied against him and railed on him, as it talks about in our passage as well. It says in verse number 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment. And so Paul, even here, he's doing all the right things. I'm going to kick off the dust and move on to the Gentiles. And yet we understand something that's beginning to wear on him. This is beginning to discourage him. And what's especially discouraging to him is his great love for his people and the fact that they are continually rejecting the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter number 9, verse number 1, it says this. Paul says this, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul said, if I could take them and switch places with them so they could be saved, so they could know Christ, he says, I'd do it. That's my love for my people, the Jews. I want to see them saved that bad. Romans 10, 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is this, that they might be saved. And that's what we see, the glimpse of Paul's heart. And he's pouring it out to the Jews only to have it thrown back into his face. And I think we find ourselves here and find Paul in a place where he's discouraged. Any number of a host of circumstances in our life can bring us to discouragement. Like Paul, it could be financial pressures. It could be rejection or perceived failure in our lives. It could be health-related, as recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, where he talks about the thorn in the flesh. Whatever the case might be, we are not immune to discouragement. But the great thing is this, is that although Paul experienced some discouragement, he received some encouragement from the Lord. Now, I'm here to tell you tonight that we experience discouragement in our life. We don't have to despair because we can find encouragement from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And that's exactly what we see recorded here as God appears to Paul as he's thinking about these things, and we have recorded. God's not just filling lines here. It's not just trying to add one more or two more verses to chapter number 18. It's there for our admonition and for our learning. Then we put ourselves in a position where we feel exactly what Paul's going through. We've been discouraged. We've been run through the ringer. We're going through some things, even when we're trying to do what's right. And yet we can look to the Lord for the encouragement that we need. No matter the situation, our discouragement can be overcome by the encouragement we receive from the Lord. So look at Paul's encouragement from the Lord. As Paul here is mulling over these things in his mind and reflecting what's taken place recently, the Lord speaks to him, providing him the encouragement not only he needs, but the encouragement we need. Look at that with me in verse number 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. The first thing, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Now the question is, what could Paul possibly be afraid of? Well, I hope by now, as we've examined Scripture and we begin to look at some of what Paul was going through and what Paul is dealing with, we can understand that maybe Paul is afraid of rejection. So, you know, that's enough. I just don't know if I want to stay here at Corinth because of the rejection I've faced. I just don't know if I want to continue to deal with that. I don't know if I would continue to put up with that. And he's thinking about that, and he's afraid of rejection. Perhaps he's afraid of persecution. Something that Paul had already begun to experience. He was stoned at Iconium in chapter number 15. He was imprisoned in chapter number 16 at Philippi and beaten with 39 stripes before that. And is experiencing all this and taking place and is going on. Perhaps he was afraid of persecution again. Or maybe he was afraid of failure. Thought, I'm just not going to get it done. Now, I can't tell you exactly what it was for Paul, but I believe that he was experiencing some fear because the Lord said, first of all, Paul, fear not. Be not afraid. There's no need to be fearful. As we read in Scripture, especially in the New Testament, you see directly correlated or put together with fear is the idea of faith. That as one increases, the other is going to decrease. And as one decreases, the other increases. And so we look at this and we understand that oftentimes we experience it not because a lack of faith, but as Jesus Christ himself said, little faith. O ye of little faith. And Paul here needs to increase his faith, but we see that the idea of fearing not is found within Scripture 62 times. God knew that there was going to be something his people were going to deal with, something they're going to experience. And oftentimes we experience in our own lives discouragement because we're afraid that we're going to fail, or we're afraid that we're going to be rejected in what we do, or we're afraid that it's not going to work out the way we think it's going to work out. But I'm here to tell you tonight, based on God and his word, be not afraid. There's no reason for us to be afraid. Why not? Because God is bigger than your fears. God is in control. God has a plan. There's absolutely no need for us to fear. And that's the thing that God opens with here with Paul. Just be not afraid. I can tell you tonight, I don't know what you're going through. I have no doubt, because God wanted me to preach this message, that there's people under the sound of my voice that are experiencing discouragement right now. Can I tell you, with encouragement from the Lord and from this message here in Acts chapter number 18, be not afraid. I don't know what you're afraid of and what discouragement is there, but be not afraid. The second thing, as you continue to read in verse number 9, he says this. He says, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Speak and hold not thy peace. When I read this, I hear God saying to Paul, do what you know I want you to do. Do what I've called you to do. In Acts chapter number 9, if we would look there at the conversion that takes place of Paul, we would read this in verse number 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. Not speaking of Paul here, but telling about the conversion of Paul and what they were going to say to him. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And then Paul himself, when he would account and remember and recount his own conversion in Acts chapter number 26 and verse 18, he said this, I was basically saying this, I was called to, and then he says in verse number 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. It's almost as if God says, let me just remind you that I've got something for you to do, that I've called you to do something. And as we experience a discouragement in our own life, we need to continue to do what we know God wants us to do. It's not time to pack up. It's not time to sit around and pout. It's not a time to start skipping church and skipping ministry opportunities and not doing what God's asked us to do. It's time for us to continue to do what God has already called us to do. That's right where Paul's at. God says, as you read that, he says in verse number 9, he says, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy tongue. He says, Paul, I know you're discouraged, and I don't want you to be afraid. But now's not the time to be quiet. Now's not the time to stop sharing my message of the gospel. Now's not the time to pack up and leave Corinth. Now's not the time to quit the ministry. I've got something for you to do. And I'm telling you, the temptation is this. When we're discouraged, the temptation is not to keep going. The temptation is to quit and say, you know what? That's enough. Or I'll take a break. I'll just put myself on the shelf for a little bit, and I'll get back in it when I'm ready. But God's message to him was, don't hold your tongue. Speak. Do what I've called you to do. Think about this. God had led Paul every single step of the way up to this point. God had led Paul to be called into the ministry. Acts chapter number 13, verse 1 through 3, it says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, or as we know him, Paul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And Paul, being led by the Spirit, continued to city after city on his missionary journeys. I can tell you tonight that we too need to do what we know God has called us to do. As I said, it's not the time to quit. It's not the time to stop. We continue to do what God has called us to do. Keep serving the Lord. Keep telling others. Keep encouraging the brethren. Keep being faithful. Keep giving. Keep doing what you know God wants you to do. Stay faithful. Continuing to read in verse number 9, he says, verse 10, he says this. He says, "For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee." I believe God was telling Paul this. He says, "Paul, just trust me. Trust me that I know what I'm doing. Trust me that my presence is there with you. Trust me that by my presence being there with you, I'm not going to let anything happen to you. Just trust me. Trust me because of his presence," as he says there in verse 10, "for I am with thee." You're discouraged, can I tell you tonight, you can stop and say this: he is with me. Doesn't matter what I'm going through, doesn't matter what's going on, doesn't matter what's caused the discouragement I'm experiencing in my life, we can have this confidence in knowing that God is with us. Paul was not alone. God will never leave us. We know he said that, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." I love Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." 2 Timothy 4:17, "Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me." He said in verse number 16, "No man stood with me." There was a point where Paul said, "It was me. I was all alone." But he understood and recognized this as you read verse 17, that the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. It was a lesson that he would eventually learn as he writes to Timothy in one of his last letters. He's writing to him and says, "You know what? There was a time where I was all alone. There was a time maybe where I would have considered myself discouraged, but God reminded me that his presence was there with me, that he was standing with me. And as he did that, I was able to deliver his word, and he delivered me out of the mouth of the lion." And if you're discouraged tonight, I want to encourage you with the truth that God is with you and God will deliver you. Trusting in his presence should lead us to trust in his provision and his protection. We need to trust that God is with us, that he's in control, and he knows exactly what he's doing. And then as you read this in verse number 10, I love this part of verse number 10 at the end. It says this, God reminds him of this. He says, "For I have much people in this city." Says, "Paul, you might be thinking of quitting or giving up or at least exiting Corinth. At the very least, that might be what's going in your mind." But he says this, "I have much people in this city." He's reminding Paul to stay focused on the task at hand. He's reminding Paul that I'm not done with you here. He's reminding Paul that there's people that need to be saved. He's reminding Paul that Corinth is a large city, by the way. Corinth was a place of trade commerce. It was a place where sailors and merchants would go to sell things. It was a melting pot of nations. He would later establish a pretty decent-sized church here, and in doing so, he would write two letters to the church at Corinth, which would be the two largest letters he would write to any church, and this is a great thing that God wanted to use him to do, but his exhortation to Paul was this, is, "I have much people in this city. Stay focused on what I've called you to do. Stay focused with what's right in front of you. Focus on the goal of much people in this city and them hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ." We need to remind ourselves that God has something planned for our lives and he desires to use us in a mighty way. You know, focusing on the goal at hand will do a lot to keep us on our path and to keep us going. A month ago or 2 months ago, we went on vacation, just a short little getaway to Tennessee. Just wanted to spend some time, our last vacation time of the year. And one of the things we like to do on vacation is go hiking. Two of our vacations last year were basically hiking vacations. And we did that again this year. So we were in Knoxville. I looked up some places to hike in Knoxville. And I found a place called House Mountain. It's the tallest point in Knox County. So I thought, this looks good. We'll do this. And I'm looking at the trails and looking at pictures, and I see a beautiful overlook that's up there. It's kind of looking over the farm and the mountains and the valleys, and we're here in the middle of November. The leaves have begun to change. They've passed that vibrant color stage, and they're in that kind of a deep autumn stage, and I'm imagining as I look at that picture of what that overlook looks like, and I'm imagining standing up there myself and looking out on the valley and seeing the trees and the farmland and envisioning that. And so I look and it says it's a moderate hike, no big deal. We've done moderate hikes before. I look at the distance, it's something like 1.25 miles. That's nothing. That's a piece of cake. So we have our family, Natalie's 7, Brady's 10, Abby's 13, and we're gonna hike this mountain. And we bring our dog with us, Bailey. She's a half Australian Shepherd, half Border Collie, and she does not lack energy. So we take her with us, and she's going to pull me up the mountain. That's fine. Okay, so I've got her, and she's just excited. If I let her go, she would just sprint all the way up the mountain. I know she would. And so it's got all these switchbacks. We're going, and we're walking, and I felt like we'd walked a decent amount of time, and then I see a sign that says, you just reached a quarter mile. And I'm doing the math in my head. I'm thinking, I know I've done more than a quarter mile. And we keep going, and then there's a half mile, then there's 3/4 of a mile. I'm like, okay, this thing's got to end soon at any point. These aren't accurate. And then I finally get there. I mean, we're crawling on rocks. We're climbing. I'm slipping all over the place. I wore shoes that didn't have much tread, and I'm continuing to climb this mountain and slip, and the dog's pulling me. At one point, she tries to jump at my family that's down below us, and I pull on her harness and save her life, but she was just ready to go. And we stopped, and we drank water, and we took breaks, and we're continuing to climb. And then we get to the point where we're at the end, and then I see another sign. I think I'm at the end. I mean, we just got to look right there, and we're there. Then I see another sign that says an 1/8 mile to the overlook. So I'm doing this math in my head. I know I've already done a mile. I'm thinking the whole loop's 1.25 miles. So we got to go another 1/8 mile to the overlook. So we go to the overlook. That's another 1/8 mile. But you know what? What kept me going the whole time was me in my mind envisioning the goal of seeing that overlook and seeing those beautiful colors on the trees and seeing the valleys. And that's what kept us going as we continued to climb. And by the time we were done, we did like 5 miles. I thought it was going to be 1.25 miles. But all of that, what kept me going from turning around and going back once we realized it was going to be much longer than what we thought it was going to be and much more than moderate, it was not moderate, and we kept going. What kept us going was focusing on that goal in my mind of looking out on the valley from the top of House Mountain. And I'll tell you, when I got to the top, it was worth it. And what kept me going was focusing on that goal. And that's what I believe God's telling Paul right here. He says, Paul, I know you're discouraged, but I've got much people in this city. And I need you to stay focused on the goal of seeing those people saved. You might be experiencing discouragement tonight. I don't know. But the truth is you probably will if you haven't already. It can come to anyone at any time about anything. But we can find encouragement from the Lord, as Paul did. Be not afraid, as God told Paul. Be not afraid. Go ahead and speak. Don't hold your breath. And continue to do what I've called you to do. And we see there in verse number 10 that he says, I am with thee, the reminder of God's presence and protection in our lives. And then the goal to focus, I have much people in this city. And I love Paul's response in that next verse, not to be taken lightly at all. Verse number 11. And he continued there, 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Paul didn't stay a day more. Paul didn't stay a month more. Paul stayed 18 months longer in Corinth than what he previously was contemplating because of the encouragement he received from the Lord. Now, I could tell you this, that didn't mean it was going to be a bed of roses for him. In fact, we won't take time to do it, but if you read on in the next couple verses, you can see that things didn't go so well for Paul in Corinth. But Paul stuck with it, even in the midst of discouragement. So what about it tonight? Are you discouraged? You can find encouragement from the Lord, just like the Apostle Paul. I'd like to have every head bowed and every eye closed. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. I don't know how God might have spoke to your heart tonight, but I know this is the message God had for us. The challenging message to my own heart We don't normally have a music invitation on Wednesday night, but the altar is always open for you to come and pray and respond how the Lord might have spoken to your heart. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement we find from your word, the encouragement that you gave to Paul as he's here at Corinth and experiencing some discouragement. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be encouraged to keep going, be encouraged to not be afraid, be encouraged, Lord, to do what you've called us to do, to be encouraged, Lord, by your presence and protection in our life. Be encouraged, Lord, by the goal that's right in front of us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do as Paul did, Lord, and obey you and to continue to serve you. Lord, I pray that even though that may not mean that you take away the things that are bringing us discouragement, Lord, you can take away our discouragement in the midst of those trials. Father, we thank you for the example of your word. Thank you for speaking to our hearts tonight, for those that responded. And Lord, I pray that you would bless us as we're dismissed. And Lord, I pray that you continue to be with Pastor and Mrs. Titt as they're away. Lord, I pray that you bring us back on Sunday, ready to worship you again in your house. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.